Hello and welcome to episode 6 of the show. I'm your host, Endgamer, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Yo Blazer.
In the words of Dr. Yukio Hattori from television's Iron Chef, always a pleasure.
And joining us tonight, we have some very interesting guests. One of them has been on the show already. That would be X-The.
Hello.
And the other guest is someone who was a big star this week for an excellent call he made in one of the matchups. We're going to be getting to that. But say hello to the show debut of Justin Crossing.
Hey, what's up?
Getting back to the past week, there were three really cool, really big matches, the first of which was Warcraft 3 going up against Morrowind. And this was predicted to be very close as far as our Oracle, and yet only 27% of the gurus actually went ahead and picked Morrowind in their bracket. And it ended up pulling off the upset in a close match, just held off Warcraft 3. X-The, how much did you enjoy watching this very exciting match between these two?
I tell you what, Ulti made this match on board 8 because I think it was not even 5 minutes in when he made a topic saying, I don't know why anyone was even worried about this. And then the next update was a stall, and Morrowind proceeded to come back, and we know the rest of that. But it was great because I hadn't even considered it. And then I think on the show, I forget what was said, but someone said something about reconsidering this match. And I went and I looked how well Morrowind held up in the last contest and how well Oblivion did. And then I thought about the fact that Arthas, who is pretty much the face of Warcraft 3, just lost to Kefka. And I was like, all right, I'm going to take this. And 5 minutes in, I was pretty upset, too. I said Warcraft had it. Then, like the rest of us, I was like, oh, well, maybe we should learn from our mistakes eventually about calling matches before, you know, even 5 minutes. So I enjoyed the hell out of it. I was extremely happy to get that one right.
I thought this might have been the best match of the contest so far. I'm slightly biased just because I was one of that 27% who went with Morrowind, and it was really good. It's always great to take a fairly major risk by the numbers like that and get it right. However, the site actually outperformed us on this one. They were surprised as well, but at least 33% of the overall site went with Morrowind, so they did beat us a little bit. Yo, what were your thoughts on this one? Did you find it as enjoyable as we did?
Yeah, I did. I also have a couple things to say about Ulti, but that will be said later.
Uh-oh.
SpaghettiOs. It was a lot of fun. First of all, I have to give props to my host and the guests on the show last week. Endgamer, Wiggs, and Super Angelo all called Morrowind. A fantastic job there. I could have made it a 4-4 fantastic sweep, but I flubbed it. I am the loser in that foursome there. But it was still a lot of fun to watch. That 5 to 10 minute turnaround was just insane. I don't, you know, that's something we don't see too often. It's really rare, and it was a lot of fun. And, you know, once that happened, I kind of thought, okay, with an update like that, Morrowind's probably the favorite. So when it got the lead and kept it, I wasn't too surprised. Cost me a point, but it was still fun, you know, to root on the other guys on the show, and even more fun for reasons we'll get into in-depthly later.
Yeah, that was an insane start. I mean, you never see that, 57% for one game, and you figure they're somewhat similar fan bases. This isn't like a night and day situation. You'd never expect a comeback there. So even though I'm not one of those guys that calls after 5 minutes in a debatable match, I didn't really think this one was that debatable after those first 5 minutes. So that was really cool. Now, Justin, it came down to Morrowind with about a 400 vote lead with 2 hours left, and you are our Blizzard expert on the show here tonight. Did you think that there was going to be a Warcraft rally that WoW guys or Dota guys were going to get involved and push WC3 to the wind in such a close match?
Well, there was a lot of potential, but let's face it, nobody at Blizzard really cares enough to actually click on a link and go vote for something.
So do you think, now, I've made this argument on the board, me and Leanne have kind of gotten into it, but I say there's no way StarCraft loses this match in that kind of situation. Down only 400 to 500 votes against, you know, not like a Zelda or a Mario, but Morrowind, we think it'd be fairly easy to rally against. I think it would get pushed out to the win there. Justin, do you agree?
Well, yeah, because StarCraft as a game, or StarCraft 2 even, StarCraft is a stronger game, and it doesn't even have the Warcraft name Antigos that WoW has brought it.
Yeah, that's. I think that was a big point as well, and something that might have been swept under the rug a little bit, but people really dislike WoW on this site, and even just sharing half of a name with it, I think, was a disadvantage, and that was one of the reasons I did end up going with Morrowind. So that was a pretty cool one, but as I said, the overall site did beat the board there again. But that was nothing compared to our next big upset.
Ugh.
We had Valkyria Chronicles going up against Disgaea, and for some reason, we all knew these games were kind of untested, they were both going to be pretty weak, and yet nearly 80% of gurus went with the Disgaea pick, as compared to 58% of the site correctly picking VC. Very embarrassing for us, but there was one man on board 8 who was confident in VC all the way, and his name was Justin Crossing. So Justin, could you explain why did we get this one so very wrong?
Well, I know you guys hate to use Dale's as argument.
Because it sucks.
DC managed to beat this Disgaea 3 in one of the Game of the Year polls, but and this was only like a few weeks after it came out. I think it was 8 weeks, and by then it had only sold like 75,000. And then after that it managed to get up to 600,000 copies sold. So I pretty much guessed that it would have to have at least gained a decent amount of power.
So basically you're saying the biggest thing was the price was lowered, and then PS3 owners went out and said, I don't really have many RPGs, you know, good JRPGs, and they went out and bought VC, and that made it much stronger than what we had ever seen indicated in the polls. Is that what you're saying?
Mostly, but like, it's also because they're definitely going to have some sort of leeching of votes, because they're both PS-exclusive SRPGs, except for just KFDS, but VC is probably the better game, and so it's definitely going to leak some votes from players.
And the other reason that I was fairly confident in picking against VC there was how it lost to The World Is Not Enough, a game whose main character Laharl beat quite easily last year. But again, Justin has kind of explained that VC was incredibly undervalued in those games.
Did you just call The World Ends With You, The World Is Not Enough?
Yeah, I always do that.
That's a James Bond movie.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
He's a GoldenEye fan, folks. Come on.
You have to understand that was my era of really following GoldenEye. So. Twine and Tweenie, I can't tell them apart.
This upset made absolutely no sense, and no one cares about these games. Usually when I get an upset wrong, I'm pretty upset about it, but I just couldn't muster up the care. I was like, whatever. I was still kind of upset about No Mercy at that point. I was like, whatever, who cares? This came out of nowhere. If you want to talk about sales, like, that's the same argument people were using for Demon's Souls, and look where that got them. Like, there was nothing logical for picking Valkyria Chronicles. Good job getting it right. It just, it didn't make any sense.
Well, I gotta argue that, because, like, who's gonna series vote Disgaea when Demon's Souls had a way better opponent as far as franchise goes? People know that a classic Mega Man, even if it's a boxer, you can tell it's a classic Mega Man. So they're gonna assume that it's pretty similar to what they've already played.
Yeah, but Disgaea's got so many more games, like.
And I haven't played any of them.
Enough people to keep getting Laharl into the contest.
I and still don't know what system either of these two games are on.
That was the other thing that didn't make sense to me, is you got a PS3 exclusive in a year where PS3 exclusives have been bad against a game that was on the PS2, and then it was ported to the PSP. It's been ported to the DS. It's got new games coming out on the PS3.
It's just ludicrous. There's no sense in that game.
They just didn't get sold.
Maybe this is the one match in contest history where sales mean anything in a close match, because it doesn't make sense to me. But congrats on getting it right, Justin.
Yo, do you think that with such apathy and such terrible votals for this one, that maybe it was one of those where VC with slightly better match pick possibly caught the viewers' eyes and they just said, oh, whatever, I'll just go with the top option with the...
That could certainly be the case. I think the fact that it's got a name that might make people think of other games, because let me be clear, I mentioned it before, but I had Valkyria Chronicles at the start because I thought it was a Square-made PS1 RPG. Like, that's what I thought it was. So I thought, okay, this will beat Disgaea for sure. And then I learned, I'm lying a bit when I say I still don't know what system it's on. I learned it was a PS3 exclusive made by Sega, so I thought, okay, now I'm not so sure. Let me just go with the game that's been in the contest for quite a few years, that's always gotten its top character in these contests. Let me just go with that established brand. So I went with Disgaea. It was like the votals were so bad that it could have really been anything. And I don't mean to diminish Justin's call, because it was a really good pick. Like, to pick an unknown like that in a debated match, it takes guts. Even if it is just a one-point match, it's pretty ballsy. So good job on you for calling it. But when I realized I was going to get it wrong, I really didn't care that much.
See?
The other cool match from this week, and one that people definitely did care about based Woo-hoo! On the reaction and the votals, was Pokemon RSE going up against GTA 4. Now, the interesting thing here is Pokemon was still a very slight favorite when it came to match day, just barely favored in the Oracle. However, the late trends were going almost entirely to GTA. In fact, I took a look out on the Oracle topic, and the 13 people who got in their picks last, like last-minute changes, 12 of them went for GTA. Only one lone Pokemon picker remained. That man was Yoblazer.
Wait, what?
you came in with a very low pick right at the end, but you stuck with your gut. You stuck with Pokemon when everyone else was going GTA. What do you have to say for yourself?
Well, that's rather pleasant. I knew if it was close. I expected it to be close, just like most everybody did, but I knew if it would be close, Pokemon was probably not going to lose. Like, it's almost impossible to picture, okay, GTA wins with 50.25%. The Nintendo and Pokemon fanbase is not going to let that happen. Like, we've all got our brackets invested in Pokemon, and, like, at that point, probably when, a point's on the line and it would have been fun, maybe I would have even rallied for Pokemon and, like, slit my wrist after or something. But, GTA was not going to win a close match, so it was either going to win with, 52% or more, something like that, or it was going to lose. So I just said it's Pokemon in a day match. A lot of people, ever since it came out, have been disappointed in GTA 4, and, so I just stuck with it. I thought that alone was enough.
Basically, what we're talking about here is the fourth strongest entry in the Pokemon series against the fourth strongest entry in the GTA series. You normally think, all right, that's got to favor Pokemon, but, Exla, don't you agree that everything seemed to be trending in GTA's favor as that match drew closer?
Oh, absolutely. You're absolutely right with that. After the performance for Diamond Pearl Platinum, which was, you got to say, kind of underwhelming, considering, which I don't think it was all that underwhelming. I thought it was a decent enough performance. But everything seemed to be in GTA's favor. Grand Theft Auto 3 performed pretty well, I thought. And I had Grand Theft Auto over RSE when I was on the show last, and you guys actually managed to talk me out of it. So I want to say thank you very much for that one, because I would have felt like such an idiot to get burned by Pokemon after I'm
standing in line to see the show.
But anyways, it was a fun day for the match when it took place, because I remember at the beginning I was cursing you guys for making me change my mind. And then showering you with praise while praising myself. And
yes.
At a certain point in the match, it was really easy to call, because, like, Albion and a few of the other GTA backers were in the topic basically declaring it over because GTA was going to win the after-school vote, while everything in North America and South America was shifting towards Pokemon, like, by the minute. And it was just like, Pokemon's got this, and it did with the after-school vote, and a bit with the second night vote, I want to mention. It slaughtered for a couple of hours there. It just seemed like really random.
One thing I want to mention, it's kind of been brought up in the crew topic, but Albion's inability to call trends or after, I mean, he's been here 6 years, and the calls that he makes, even halfway through a match, like, oh, clearly this is going to have Xbox kind of trends, He kept harping on that. It's Xbox trends, GTA, yeah, it's going to do really good in the afternoon.
even after South America was trending viciously towards Pokemon.
Yeah, it was clearly
every
turning.
Every North American, every state was just increasing for Pokemon, basically.
Are you guys saying that Tales of Vesperia is not going to have Halo trends?
And I hate to single Albion out because, I mean, a lot of people were doing that, especially early in the match, like not understanding fairly basic trend knowledge that we should have after all these years. But he was definitely the worst of the worst at it. Just when did you feel, Justin, that Pokemon was going to come out ahead in that match? Were you one of those who thought GTA had it early on?
Well, I was at school the entire time, so I pretty much came home to Pokemon winning. But I thought Pokemon was going to win from the start, so it was good.
You missed a good one.
Yeah, you really did. I actually made the mistake of calling it for GTA, not after 5 minutes, after like 25 minutes.
Oh, I called it after 5 minutes, brother. Calling it the freeze.
But it was just, I never expected, because I got out of class and went and checked in the computer lab, and once GTA was just putzing around like at a 300-vote lead at the start of, like, right before the after-school vote started, I knew there was no way it was going to withstand the Pokemon after-school vote. I think GTA probably wins in a 24-hour or night match, though. That should be said.
I give it the nod in a night match. I think in a day match, I mean, in a 24-hour match, I think it'd build up a bigger lead, but it would probably lose that lead again. I mean, that'd be really cool to see. And hopefully we see something like that, you know, Metal Gear Solid against Pokemon. That's going to have a chance to be one of the biggest trend shifts we've ever seen.
Yeah, and you, and speaking of doubting Pokemon, I think we're going to see a really bad underperformance by Crystal, because it's going to get the picture with Suicune on it instead of Ho-Oh or Lugia. So it's going to lose some... not a lot, but it's going to lose some support. I don't think it's going to crush Advance Wars as bad as it would. So people are going to be calling for its head when it comes up against Majora's Mask, which is just going to be delicious when it completely curb stomps it. So
I'm looking forward to GST stopping Majora's Mask.
Yeah, we'll see about that. I mean, I know as much as Yo hates the Pokemon series, it's so fun to have in a contest setting just for stuff like this. It's like, everyone was really high on it because it's been doing good, and then Metroid kind of shows it up, and then everyone's low on it, everyone's turned their back on it, and now everyone's back on the bandwagon.
Well, I don't know, because like, even that performance against GTA wasn't all that convincing, unless you really think, like Ulti said, GTA 4 is a solid contender, which I don't know.
It was Crystal with like 60-40 Ruby and Sapphire and Emerald.
The thing I think GTA has some strength. It's just going to be so, at least, you know, 4 is going to be so anti-voted against something with some popularity of its own that I think it has a tough time winning a close match. But even pulling that out at all, I thought was impressive and bodes well for what Gold's going to be able to do down the line. All right, so those were the big 3 matches of this second week of the first round of the contest. And now we're going to move on to everyone's favorite segment. It's called Stars and Turds, where we pick out the best and most disappointing performances. Let's start out with the turds this week. And Yo, you had a very large one you wanted to get us started out with. Why don't you take it away?
Yeah, there were some pretty disappointing performances throughout the week, but the one that takes the cake was when GameFAQs just proved that it has no mercy for no mercy. I mean, my God, this thing was debated. It was like debated. I can't remember the last time a match this debated where I think 40% of the gurus took it, where it ended in such a slaughter. I think it really might be like Vincent Kerrigan, or actually a red, blue, yellow versus Majora's Mask.
I cannot believe that Vincent Kerrigan was debated. Okay, anyway, keep going.
I still don't quite get that.
So it was the biggest, by far, the biggest slaughter for a debated match since, like, those two. So it's going to go down in contest history, and there is very little chance that Fire Emblem Path of Radiance has anything resembling legit strength. Like, it's almost 0% right there. So you know No Mercy has to be just awful, and
you know, I still give props to Dr. Football for picking it as his guru victory pick. I still don't think it was a bad pick. On the other hand, I think it was actually a great pick because it got a lot of people happy, got people excited, got people yelling quotes. It got into a debated match, and then it gave us a completely shocking result. So that, like, for better or for worse, that's pretty much what you want to aim for with a guru pick. Like, if he would have picked something, you know, standard that just got in and got itself 55-45 like everybody said it would, you know, that would be kind of boring. But No Mercy just failed above and beyond the Call of Duty. But yeah, there is no arguing that it was the turd of turds. They call Triple H the King of Kings. Well, his game was the turd of turds for this week.
I was talking with, like, Cooj and some other guys on some, like, web chat thing, like, back during Fable and Team Fortress 2. Ha ha, by the way, Justin. Anyways, and we were talking about going on to Twitter and getting guys like The Miz and Daniel Bryan and, I don't know, some other people to link to the match and vote for No Mercy and trying to like rally in that manner. I figured it was going to be close. And I really thought No Mercy was going to win this match because I didn't give Fire Emblem any sort of credit. And I went home, or I was at work all day. Like, I had to work literally 12 to 9. So I come home at 9 o'clock and I'm like, all right, let's see how close it is. Let's see how much rallying I have to do. And then I voted and my face just dropped and I was just like, I was like, dot, dot, dot. Like, I was literally humming the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, the No Mercy opening theme when I was walking up my stairs to my computer, and I get there, and it's just, like, slapped in the face by Ike, who very clearly doesn't fight just for his friends. He fights to just abuse wrestling fans, because that's what he did. What a horrible result.
And just to look at the raw numbers here, they're definitely painful to look at for anyone who gave this a chance. We were so confused by this match. The Oracle was only 53%, which sounds absurd, considering the final result was nearly a 72% win for Fire Emblem over an 18-point swing there, which is way beyond anything else we've seen this year and have seen in a number of years.
There won't be anything like that again. Unless it's like a complete unknown that comes in and does well against a really popular game, we will never see a Oracle pick that gets obliterated like that again.
We get a little bit smarter in the Oracle every year, but there's still occasionally matches like this. But wow, that is a major stumbling point.
Aren't there a few guys who had a who have Tony Hawk over the other Fire Emblem? How do you think they were feeling when they saw this match?
Yeah. Wow.
Actually, good though.
Did you just say what I think you said?
Dude, I like Tony Hawk as much as the next guy, but, I mean, look what this Fire Emblem game just did.
Well, I'm not saying Tony Hawk's going to win. I'm just saying that it's actually, like, a quality game.
Is No Mercy, dickhead.
Come on, dude. You don't even have to play No Mercy. Just play the WCW games. I played the WCW games a lot more, and No Mercy is, like, an improvement on those games. And those games are already kick-ass.
No Mercy has a fucking Tooth Fairy on the box art.
Oh my god.
Oh no.
You know what, Justin? You picked Fable to beat Team Fortress 2, so shut up.
Yeah, and No Mercy's gonna get more crap talked about it later in the show, so just hold off there, Buster.
Oh, this is excellent trolling by Justin.
I love it. And I can talk louder than you, so I'm just gonna Oh my god. Justin just posted an image in the chat of The Rock as the Tooth Fairy. I think getting hit in the groin. Is that what that is, Justin?
Right.
It doesn't matter what that is!
Excellent work, Justin. Thank you for that contribution. And one thing Yo said that I want to touch on again, I agree with him in this being, despite the massive failure, this was a really fun guru pick and one that hopefully winners in the future are going to follow. I like it when you take an entrant that wouldn't make the bracket otherwise, and you use them to get it into a winnable position, into a hopefully debatable match. I mean, I think that is what the guru is all about, having that much of a, you know, a rally advantage over anything else that could possibly be rallied on the board. All right, that is definitely the turd of the week, but what else did you have that really disappointed you in this second week?
I guess you could call Platinum a turd for not doing better against Fusion, but everything did kind of as expected or outperformed expectations this week.
Yeah, my turd was DP against Fusion there, and it's not really fair to harp on that too much just because we had no real idea on Fusion, but just everything we've seen from the Metroid series says Prime can show some strength. Super Metroid. shut up. Super Metroid can show some strength, and everything else in the series, no one really cares about. And for it to be that close on, you know, the latest and some say greatest Pokemon game, that was a real shocker to me, and probably my biggest mess up of the week, aside from No Mercy.
But as far as turds go, I'm going to have to go with F-Zero. Because F-Zero, you think it's decently well-known. I mean, it hasn't gotten a game in a really long time. But only getting 30% on Dragon Age is pretty shitty.
Yes, that was very bad. I mean, we realized it was going to win. The Oracle pick there was 61, and instead it got up to nearly 70% for Dragon Age. And I got burned there again. Because I said, all right, F-Zero isn't strong as a series, but, you know, 1v1, Falcon has done good in the past. Obviously, he has a lot more going for him than just the F-Zero name. But I did think, against such a recent game, you get kind of a well-loved Nintendo game from the GC era. I thought it was going to do better there.
I think before you call F-Zero a turd here, and, you know, I'm okay with calling it a turd. I think before you do that, you have to see what Dragon Age does against Twilight Princess. Like, if it goes out and just gets creamed like I think it's going to, then yeah, F-Zero's a turd. But if it kind of holds its own, which is possible, it's possible, if it holds its own against Twilight Princess, then maybe F-Zero's performance isn't too shabby because Dragon Age has some legitimate strength. And it's possible because Dragon Age is pretty much the biggest Western RPG of the past 2 years, something like that.
But Would you take Bioshock over Dragon Age? Because I know I sure as hell would.
Yes, I would.
I would.
We're saying that Star Wars Battlefront 2 pretty much beats F-Zero at least 55-45 years. That's pretty shitty.
Fair enough.
Yo, were you surprised by the size of that win, or were you just thinking, you know, Western RPGs, they're on the rise, this is one of the most popular recent ones, of course it's going to blow out.
No, this was one of my best guru picks of the contest so far. After getting creamed with the Pokemon guru, I actually called this one almost perfectly. I had Dragon Age with 69%, and I just did that on the basis that I just figured nobody would care about F-Zero. I mean, you said it was a well-loved game, but I'm assuming that it's well-loved by like half a dozen people, so that really doesn't mean much when you're trying to win a one-on-one match. I would agree that F-Zero is probably the turd. I don't think Dragon Age is going to do that well against Twilight Princess.
All right, let's move on to some stars. And Justin, you said Metroid Fusion was one, definitely a fair pick. That was a great showing against a Pokemon game. Did you have another big star from this week you wanted to mention?
Not really. There weren't any really outstanding performances this week. That maybe Bioshock doing that well against Battlefront.
Yeah, that was a nice one. Again, was very comparable to the Dragon Age match. We thought it would win with about 60. Instead, it went up to 69. Yo, do you think this speaks ill of the Star Wars name on this site, that it can get crunched so easily?
I think this Star Wars game, Battlefront 2, is pretty weak. I don't think that you can look at that performance and say, oh, Knights of the Old Republic is going to suck, or Darth Vader would suck in a match against, let's say, Link, plug. But,
oh my god.
But yeah, I figured this game was going to be weak. I think I went with Bioshock kind of high, I can't remember. But I'm assuming a lot of people have not played Battlefront 2, and Bioshock is one of those games from the last 3 or 4 years that everybody knows is like a perennial contender for a legit critically acclaimed game of the decade. Everybody who's played it really, really liked it. And I think when you talk about respect voting, we've done a lot of talking about that with, let's say, Metroid Prime or Half-Life 2. I think Bioshock, despite being newer and weaker than those games, or I don't know, maybe it might not be that much weaker, but it is definitely in the category for one of the most like respected games of the past few years. So against something that's weak and something that a lot of people have not played, you know, I could easily see it just crunching it like it did. So a lot of people were talking about maybe BioShock beating Kingdom Hearts 2. You know, on the heels of this performance, I think...
Great segue into my star of the week.
I think that is really stretching it, like stretching the hell out of it. I think BioShock is probably going to get creamed, but at least it'll go out of this contest with one really, really great performance under its belt.
Again, I don't give it a chance against Cage 2, but it just makes me disappointed in the unfortunate placement for this game. I would have loved to see it somewhere in those top two divisions instead of, you know, like Uncharted and Batman, which definitely have some strength, but I think BioShock could have made a really deep run and been really debatable. That could have been fun. Actually, I think you were leaning into the KH2 match from this week.
Yeah, that's one of my stars of the week. I thought it was amusing seeing everybody, all the BioShock fans, and surprising number of them. There are a lot of BioShock fans on Board 8 start talking about a potential BioShock over Kingdom Hearts 2 upset, and then proceeding to be all shut down by Kingdom Hearts 2 putting up a very dominant performance against Halo 2, at least in my opinion. I did not expect it to just crunch Halo 2 like that. And it's actually not good for me because I picked Kingdom Hearts over Kingdom Hearts 2. So after seeing this, it's kind of like, oh, shit. Kingdom Hearts is going to have to really impress against Modern Warfare 2 next round in order to be the favorite, even, in my opinion. But aside from that, I thought the other star of the week was definitely Twilight Princess, aside from the Smash games anyways, which Yo will get into in a minute. I thought Twilight Princess performed pretty well against Shenmue, and the whiners that it brought out were just exceptional. There was so much whining from the Shenmue fans. I think there's some guy called Justin29 or something like that that were just completely ludicrous on Board 8 about this game. And Twilight Princess came in as the first Zelda game in the bracket, and it showed why we call this site ZeldaFacts.
As long as, like, GameFAQs recognizes Shenmue's contributions to the industry, the Shenmue fans will be content. No, we won't be content. It was a disaster of a result. Shenmue should have won, but, you know, never mind. Like, go Shenmue. I'm still looking for some sailors 11 years later.
I don't think it actually really did all that well. Like, I wouldn't put Shenmue that far ahead of, say, Beyond Good and Evil. And Galaxy, 75% of that, Twilight Princess, 80% of that. And we're expecting Twilight Princess to handle Galaxy pretty decently. So I don't think it's that big of a stretch from what we expected.
Okay, Justin, but we saw this same matchup in 2004, and Final Fantasy X could not even manage 75%. Against this game, and yet here is TP doing almost 80%. Aren't you impressed now that you know that?
That's like arguing Xenogears would still be so far.
Good counterpoint.
Touché, young man.
Yeah, I set you up on a tee there. Obviously, Shenmue does not have the fan base that it did years back. With Sega abandoning the series, you really couldn't have expected that to stick around. People really want to talk about the start of the week. We had Melee go out in a night match, put up 87% on Guitar Hero 2, and then later on Brawl came out and did very well for itself as well, 83% against a Mario Kart game. That one was a day match. Which of those earns Star of the Week for you between the two?
That is such a difficult question to answer, because for the number one star on my little word document right now, I have Melee / Brawl. I could not decide on a number one star. I had to give it to both of them, and I'm trying to be as objective as possible. But Melee started off the week and just put up a percentage that most of us thought we probably weren't going to be seeing this contest. 87%. It started at around like 91%, and the show, you know, was really excited when we were seeing that. We were live last week when this was happening, and Melee was just rocking house. And it was such an impressive looking performance, and right after that, everybody was so interested in seeing what Brawl was going to do, and it just came out there and it beat the hell out of Mario Kart DS. And Mario Kart DS, let's not forget, in 2005, it beat God of War in that Game of the Year voting finals. Of course, both games got smashed by Resident Evil 4, but I don't think you can call it Turbo Fodder or anything, you know? And Brawl just destroyed it and SFF'd it to the end of time. And, you know, it's hard for me to say which game looked more impressive. Both of these games are going to choke and hammer and break apart everything in their way before they reach each other. It's only going to get bigger and bigger and more hyped. And they both brought their A-plus games. They're both here to play. I am so excited for the match, and even more excited after I saw them both just tear the house down.
Do you think this Melee versus Brawl match is one of the most important in the site's, you know, history? Like, what poll do you think was more important before the before this, and how recent was it?
I'll give you three. Mario versus Cloud 2002 is still the number one poll.
My favorite match ever.
Yeah, Mario versus Cloud, the most historic, the most influential. Nintendo versus Square, face of Nintendo, face of Square, first contest we've ever had. That is the biggest one. Second one, L Block in the finals, when the entire internet was so pumped up for it. Third one, Final Fantasy VII versus Ocarina of Time in 2004. Disappointing finish because it was, you know, it was not close at all. Very, very hyped. Both games looked insanely strong. Everybody knew these were easily the two strongest games we had on the site, and I would probably put this one right behind those three. I can't see anything else that's bigger.
What about Link Cloud 2003?
I would put this one right behind those four. I can't see anything else bigger. This one is number five behind those four.
I mean, this is going to be huge. I can't quite put it up there with OOTFF7 just because, you know, that's a rivalry that nothing is really going to touch. But both of their appearances have been duds. So if this one can be a real, you know, slugfest, like a back and forth match, I could maybe even see it going ahead of those. Justin, what do you think?
Well, I wasn't around for any of those, so when I've been around, I definitely have to go with this being pretty damn important, because you might as well call the Game of the Decade match right there, because I don't think there's really that much of a chance that Final Fantasy X gets close to beating either of them in the finals. Yeah, and they've got the hype machines, and once one beats the other, I think that'll just be a massive increase in strength for whichever one wins. So, yeah, that pretty much decides the winner and who wins the bracket.
Now, getting back to the original question, I would say purely from a percentage standpoint, I would give Brawl star just slightly. But then if you factor in day match, big advantage for it against Melee, which, you know, started out at 91%. Imagine what that could have done with an ASV. I definitely don't think.
Yeah, man, you gotta give the number one to Melee. It's just like Brawl did exceptional, yeah, but Melee put up a percentage that we did not think we'd see in this contest, and it didn't even have SFF to work with. So an after school vote. I'm letting my bias show through on that because I so passionately want to see Melee beat Brawl. But it was definitely the star.
I thought it was really funny and interesting how Melee won the board vote handily, but Brawl lost it handily. Because Mario Kart DS was not doing like 16 or 17% at the opening 5 minutes. I thought it had at least a couple percentage points more than that. And Brawl just kept gaining all day, whereas with Melee it was the other way around from the opening bell. You know, I thought that was really cool.
And could set us up for what we're going to see in that matchup. Maybe Melee gets out to a good start, and then, Brawl keeps cutting away.
I hope it's close. I do hope it's close, though. I don't, as much as I want Melee to win, I hope it doesn't just smash it like 55-45. I hope it's like close, like it goes out to a lead, and then Brawl comes back, and then Melee fights it off. And I would love to see it just come down to the wire. Please win, Melee. Please, GameFAQs, do not let me down.
But the ball is definitely in Final Fantasy X's court if it wants to remain in serious contention for winning it all. It's going to have to do some pretty good stuff in the next couple rounds to match these performances. And we kind of touched on it already, but let me just give kind of a minor turd to Call of Duty 4, because that was just bad. Prince of Persia has been so awful the last 2-3 years, and to own not even 63% in a day match, that was pretty awful. But again, Call of Duty is kind of redeeming itself here. Let me check the very latest. We have Modern Warfare 2 still above 58% against Dissidia in the early going.
Damn it.
I do still think that's going to come down, but...
I mean, would you really think that? I mean, 80-20 Dissidia in the game of the year voting. You know, so now it'll finish around, what, like 57?
Damn it, this sucks. I hate Call of Duty. Why the hell couldn't Dissidia be a freaking PS3 game? It would crush Call of Duty then.
Let me give you despair.
Shall I give you despair?
Oh, shall I give you... Please take it. This pear tastes great.
Love pears. I love them. Oh, yeah. Oh man, I have a Facebook picture which has me holding a pear out in front of me. Saying,
I have seen it.
I'm surprised more people on Board 8 haven't seen this.
So that about does it for all the content from this last week that we wanted to touch on, and that brings us to the very best segment in this whole show. Let's hit it.
Hello.
Yes, yes, and welcome everyone to Infidel and Divine Prophet of the Week, the segment where we highlight the best and worst of the contest-related board happenings. And let us jump right into it. I think this guy is going to get pretty mad at me, but he'll recover. Infidel of the Week, Ulti!
Woo! Oh, that's just obnoxious.
I know, so obnoxious. For his fantastic Warcraft 3 topic. Now, let me admit, I was at work, I could only read the first few posts, but from my understanding, here's what happened. Warcraft 3 starts the match to an incredible lead, like 57% at the freeze. There is no way it can possibly lose. The Morrowind fans have already stopped looking, Warcraft fans are excited. Ulti makes a topic saying... You know, I really don't understand how this match, you know, was even in contention or was even disputed at all. Like, don't you guys know anything? And he posts that, and literally seconds later, and by seconds, I do mean seconds. It might have been, like, less than a minute. Seconds later, the second update happens, and Morrowind immediately cuts, and now it's, like, 51-49. And Ulti just has achieved tremendous fail. Now, if it would have just stopped there, Ulti would have been a divine prophet for this week, because that it is so hard to achieve like that level of just unimpeachable fail, and I love seeing that. That's so entertaining to me. Ulti would have been a winner for the week. But then he took it too far, and he had to argue for posts and posts and posts that he was happy about it. Like, he was happy about Warcraft 3 losing, and he was happy about how this whole thing played out. And Ulti, like... I'm sorry, buddy, but the board is just smarter than that. When you make a topic saying, how can you guys think this was debatable, and then it immediately comes around and bites you in the ass, nobody's happy about that. Nobody's going to be happy about that. You were angry about that. So what you should have done was relish and embrace your fail. Like NG and I, we are like the kings of cleanliness and sunshine now. We have relished in our failure. That's what you should have done. So by... trying to save face when you didn't really need to, you know, you secured yourself as an Infidel of the Week. So have a great week, buddy. And not to be outdone by the king of Board 8, also Infidels this week are the real men who supported No Mercy. For the guys who don't know what I'm talking about, there was a large pro wrestling contingent on the board who, when asked, you know, which match they thought was going to win, which one they'd support, they're like, I got No Mercy in my bracket because I'm a real man. No Mercy's going to win this because I'm a real man. Fire Emblem's going to get his ass stomped because I'm a real man. And then the match happened and No Mercy just got really stomped. So this leads me to one of two theories. Either there is a severe shortage of real men on GameFAQs, or no, the second and much more likely theory that these real men were just real dumb. Infidels of the Week, the real men who supported No Mercy. Enjoy it, Exa. So, but Divine Prophets, we've got one here today. The loudest Valkyria Chronicles voice, the upset of the forever, the whole board was in a tizzy for 12 consecutive hours. Justin Crossing, I want to know what you actually felt when you nailed this, because it was a pretty good upset. Like, what did you feel?
The first thing I did was pretty much go screaming a hag wild. picked it too, and we pretty much just like screamed like giddy schoolgirls. And then we went to brag to Albion, who's like, "Oh, just got to get it." And then just watching Valkyrie just gain and gain was a good feeling.
So pretty much the exact opposite feeling when you got TF2 versus Fable so horribly wrong, right?
He's a divine prophet for the week. So good call, Justin, there. I think every year, every regular on the board probably has that one upset pick that only they or a few others had and that they call right, you know, and they feel great about it. So I think this was yours, so enjoy it. Live it up. And the second divine prophet for this week is Heroic Mario, a.k.a. Ziphus. For being just about the only board aider on the Battle Contest Top 50. Now, before the contest started, we had speculated that this was going to be a side contest that board 8 would dominate even more than usual. And a couple weeks into it, it does not appear to be the case. We've got one, maybe two board 8ers on the entire Top 50 there, and Heroic Mario is raising the flag proudly for all of us. Remember, everybody, this guy had Mega Man beating Link in 2004, and now he's waving that board 8 flag for everyone. So an incredible job. I actually have been told, secret sources have informed me, that I should not be giving Heroic Mario this Divine Prophet of the Week award because the like battle stats are apparently all fabarred and they're all glitched in something, and like the points are actually way different, so none of it even makes any sense or is accurate. But you know what? I can't be bothered by such trivial BS. So Heroic Mario gets the Divine Prophet of the Week nod. Mega Man over Link, the six-year plan has finally come into fruition. This was what it's all about. So back to you, NG.
It's very possible that he's beating the rest of the board in the battle stats. Just the numbers themselves are really screwed up right now, and hopefully SP does get on that. But I do think that we're going to see more board aiders on there toward the end. I think what's mainly killing us are these new games. So I know you got burned on No Mercy.
Yeah.
What'd you have, like 5,000 points? Or?
I had a ton of points saved up. I don't know why the hell I didn't bank, because I was playing it really conservatively. Like, I banked for SA2 and Street Fighter 4, and then I wasn't going to bank. Even if I had gotten No Mercy right, I wasn't going to bank at all on Valkyria versus Disgaea. So, I mean, it doesn't hurt too badly, but if I could have just banked there and gotten, I would have like 6,800 points plus the current streak that I'm building up now, and I would have been in okay shape, but now I'm just like, ugh, I've got such a hole to crawl out of.
Remember last week when I had like 5,000 or 6,000 points going into Warcraft 3 and Morrowind, and I told everybody to bank on this match because it was such an unknown match. I told them I would be banking and everybody should bank because why risk it on such a 50-50 match? But then I said at the very end, like, you know what? I'm probably just going to end up being greedy and not banking, and I'm probably going to lose everything. Guess what happened?
Exactly that. Yeah.
Back to zero. Oh, yeah.
That just about wraps it up for our content for this week. So, Justin, I'd like to thank you for coming on tonight.
No problem.
And congratulations again on the Divine Prophet. Exta, always fun to have you on the show.
Always a pleasure.
Hey.
And Exta has mentioned that he'd like to come on more often and kind of be not co-host, let's call him a third wheel.
Good thing they call him.
Thanks. Thanks a lot. You know, I've never been called anything so nice as a third wheel, you know.
So we'll see. The thing we were planning to do this week, we had a really big name lined up, and that fell through. So cases like that, where someone drops out, we might be bringing in good old third wheel extra to keep things interesting for us. So watch for that in the future. And Yo, of course, great to have you on here again tonight.
RKO.
So join us for episode 7, where we'll be hitting on all the matches heading into the second half of the first round of the contest. Hopefully we have another exciting week like these last two have been. Some pretty cool upsets. So until then, we will see you next week on the show. Girl is singing songs to me beneath the marquee of a
fiery glow. By the way, I tried to say I'd be there waiting for.